Welcome back, everybody. I have with me today longtime cosplayer on multiple comic book covers for Red Sonja and Vampirella.
Yeah.
Voice actor, podcaster, and many, many other things. Streamer, Joni Rosas.
That's me. Hi.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. Yeah. I know that you are a big Star Trek and Star Wars fan as well.
Yes. Star Trek slightly, don't hate me. Star Trek slightly more than Star Wars.
Oh, yeah? I was going to ask, but I didn't know if you would choose one or the other.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah? Easily choosing. One changed the world. Like, no offense to Star Wars and its fantasy beauty, but Star Trek literally changed the world for, like, people, you know, equality, everything. Feminism.
I don't know a lot about either of them.
Oh, my God.
So
really?
I know.
Wow!
It's my biggest, like, there are two things that I think take away my nerd cred the most.
Oh, no.
And one is that I haven't seen Star Trek and I watched Star Wars in adulthood because I
did
felt
too, though.
Like I had to.
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Well, not because I had to, but like The Force Awakens was my first Star Wars, like, true experience. Mm. Like, I loved Darth Maul because he looked cool when I was younger.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I didn't watch the movies at all. Maybe I didn't. I didn't pay attention. I don't know. I was a kid. I didn't care about anything. So yeah, my dad kind of raised me on Star Trek. So I was super Trekkie. Well, when I was younger, I was like, ew, that's nerdy. And then I realized, like, more, I think when I was about 19, I started watching it again. And I realized how much it kind of not only shaped me, but it shaped the world. Mm-hmm. Oh, there he is.
He found
you. Talking about him.
He found you.
He left me alone.
I know.
They found me. I shouldn't have talked bad about his friend that we killed. We totally didn't kill.
Well, yeah, no. That wasn't us. That was him. Go get him.
Yeah, the guy's over there. He killed your friend, not me.
Not us. So that's so interesting. I would love to talk more about Star Trek. So I love to talk about how people got started just in, like, nerd world in general that like brought them to cosplay eventually, but like the things that you were obsessed with as a kid, you know, things that you see at, leave me alone. things that you see at conventions and you get really excited about seeing, you know, like for me is Halo or like Spider-Man and things that you like grew up on. So Star Trek
is
kind
of huge
your,
because I feel like people wouldn't look at me and be like, oh, yeah, you know Star Trek. I want to talk to you about Star Trek because I don't wear it at conventions, like, ever. It's like, as sad as it is, and I'm one of these people, Trekkies don't really collect anything Star Trek. We don't buy things Star Trek.
Really?
Like, it's just rare. I know maybe, like, two or three people that they'll buy, like, actual movie used props or stuff or things like that. But they don't collect things. The only things I have are I have a shirt and a print signed by Uhura, who's played by Nichelle Nichols. And she's, like, my idol. She's everything. And then I have, like, a Funko Pop that's signed by Brent Spiner, which is Data. But those are, like, literally the only things. Oh, I have my Barbie doll, my Uhura Barbie doll. I have a lot of things signed by her. I love her so much. So I'd have everything signed by her. But, yeah, those are the only things I have. I don't collect Star Trek stuff. I love it. I love it probably more than most fandoms, if not all of them. But I just, I don't collect anything from it. It means the most to me. It's changed my life the most. But yeah, we just don't collect anything. So I don't dress up as it. So I don't really look like a Trekkie because it's just not, sadly, it's not, like, good for business, I guess. You know, that's kind of the business side of cosplay where you want to be something that grabs people's attention. And so you can talk about the things that you love. But, like, you know, if it's something that's, like, Data, for instance, is, like, white skin and these yellow contacts and it's, like, a more masculine cosplay. So, like, it's not sexy, it's not cute, and it's really not approachable. So, like, it scares everybody away. So I don't cosplay as that. So, you know, obviously Rey is a little bit more approachable and more recognizable. So that's better for business. But, and I love her a lot. I do. I love her character. But yeah, so Trekkie, it's hard because I can't really find my people that way. And I, like, I'll reach out to, I see them. I'm like, I love your cosplay. And they're like, oh, cool. I'm like, no, like, I want to talk to you. Please come talk to
be
me.
Be my friend.
Yeah, I'm obsessed.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's lore that I wouldn't have ever known.
Yeah. I'm obsessed with Star Trek. It's, it's life-changing. Everybody should experience Star Trek, but like talk to your local Trekkie because it can get really boring really fast. It's slow, especially okay. the original ones, but it's also like, you know, that it's one of the first interracial kisses on mm-hmm. like mainstream media. So it's important to like the culture of today of, you know, why women are a part of NASA. There's an episode in Next Gen that I don't, it's not, it's so far ahead of its time, but it's about like a non-binary race. So I highly recommend seeing it. It's called The Outcast. It explains so many different things within culture that we're dealing with today mm-hmm. that kind of gives you both sides of a story. And it's like, it doesn't even tell you what to think. It's like, are you the bad guy in this situation? Are you the good guy in this situation? Are you the person in this situation that's being pulled apart? Like, it's just very thought-provoking. And it's entertainment that makes you think about real life choices and real life things. So sometimes it's less entertaining and more educational, which maybe that's why a lot of people get bored with it. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, that's why a lot of people like Star Wars. It's an escape, and I understand the escape too. But mm-hmm. sometimes I like to confront, you know, it's science fiction versus science future.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Is that, how would you say that it impacted your life in significant ways?
Without getting too political, it changed the way I vote. Mm. Like, it really did change like my thoughts on things, just because it gave me a perspective that I never experienced. And like, sometimes you can't experience, like, depending mm-hmm. on where you live or who you're surrounded by. And even putting it in terms of like aliens versus like, you know, people of color or even like women or trans people, like you can kind of replace aliens with kind of any different walk of life and kind of understand a different walk of life. Mm-hmm. So that's what it really changed about me, is just giving me a perspective that I was like, I don't know. Like, when you're younger, you kind of just, the world revolves around you, and that's all that's happening. And then you start, you know, growing into a person that interacts with other people, and then, you know, gets a job that interacts with a lot of people with a lot of very different upbringings. And so, you know, experiencing something through entertaining media is really, really cool to kind of translate into your own world experience of like, mm-hmm. oh, I don't have to experience things to understand different people.
Yeah.
So, but that Star Trek actually got me to my first convention.
Really?
Which started cosplay.
No way.
I painted myself like an Orion slave in Enterprise, which a lot of people don't really watch. So in the original series, they were slaves, like actual slaves. So like a race of slaves. They're green-skinned women, very sexy. They danced for people. But in Enterprise, at least from what do I remember? It's been a very long time since I watched it. But they were kind of more of like a Poison Ivy type thing. So they would mm-hmm. gift captains. They'd gift them slaves, and they were very sexy women. But they actually had like kind of these superpowers that like – basically, they took over your ship.
Oh.
So it was a very empowering, sexy movement and kind of a change of not necessarily the race, but like the men were actually slaves in that, because they pretended to own the women, and then the women would go on and take over the ships. And it was just such an empowering like character that I really, really like. I wanted to be that. So,
yeah.
So I wanted to be alluring and sexy and then like mistaken for, you know, something that you own to then turn it around on you, which I thought was a cool mm-hmm. power move.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my first cosplay. That was at a Star Trek convention in, I think, 2011.
Wow.
Was that a long time ago? Mm-hmm. I think that's 14 years ago, right? 14?
Yeah.
So I've been going to the Star Trek convention every single year since then. So 14 years, and every Saturday on the Star Trek convention, I dress up as an Orion showgirl because it's in Las Vegas.
Oh.
So I took it like a step further of mm-hmm. like, you know, now she wants to be a showgirl and entertain people.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
When I think of, because we did 2018 Fan Expo kind of circuit together. I think that's when we met, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
I remember you're in a onesie. You're in a onesie and you were so sweet. I felt so out of place. Like,
oh, really?
I hadn't really like hung out with the girls there. I had no idea like where I was supposed to be, but I was like, it was when like, you know, we would travel all in a group together, but it was my first one with this group. Mm-hmm. And so I remember I was sitting there and I was just kind of watching outside because, like, I don't want to be like, what's up? I'm here too, you know? So I was just kind of like sitting there and you're like, hey, do you want to come sit with us? And I was like, yeah. So that made me feel so good. Like, I like truly remember that so vividly because, like, I felt so out of place. So thank you for being so nice to me. Like,
of course.
Like, I'm always scared of people. So it was nice.
I would feel the same way, I think. That's crazy. I don't remember that.
But it was just another Tuesday. You know, it's fine. No, but it was, you know, you were with your crew and I was like, I don't know, you're like, you want to come sit by us? I'm like, yeah, thanks.
Good. I'm so glad. I feel like the, like, grind of cosplay and convention going and obviously everything else that we're doing,
Yes.
feel like I'm losing my mind half the time.
Oh, yeah.
So
we just autopilot most of the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that makes me really happy. I'm so glad. Yes. I would do it again.
Yes. Yay. Good.
I hope so. Yeah, it is. It's intimidating. It's an intimidating mm-hmm. place. That was the first time that I had done that as well. I just happened to be pretty close to Carly.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Carly kind of
oh my goodness, that was
had me
ago.
Under her wing
Aww.
The whole time.
I remember that. Wow, that was such a different crew. It's so mm-hmm. funny to see where people grow from there. You're just like mm-hmm. – because some people stay in cosplay like forever. And then some people are like, oh, I want to do this. Or you're like, or they like don't even do cosplay at all anymore. And you're like, mm-hmm. where did they go? What do they
yeah.
do?
Yeah, especially that crew. Sometimes I want to check in on everybody and see yeah. where everyone's at. It's been so long and people sort of transitioned into so many different areas.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep up, though, when there's so much going on all the time mm-hmm. that if somebody isn't in cosplay anymore, it's hard to get your schedules to match up.
Right. And some of them, like, you know, they become family people, mm-hmm. which, like, you know, like they grow their family and then you're like, oh, do we talk anymore? Like, is mm-hmm. like, are you doing the family thing? And like, maybe, I don't know, because that's, I think that's something I struggle with, too, in like the cosplay world. I'm like, what kind of friends are we? Are we like yeah. work friends? Are we like real life friends? Do we go to dinner after? Is that like weird? Like, so I had a big, not problem with that in the beginning, but like I was so confused in the beginning of that because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, everyone's my friend right now. I was like, oh, we're work friends. That's okay. It's okay. I'm fine. I'm not heartbroken. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel super, super similarly. Yeah. I'm really, really, it makes me really happy that that's the memory that you have of
yes.
me because I feel the same way. I felt like I was bumbling around for a long time
yeah.
in the cosplay world and I'm also super shy, super nervous. So mm-hmm. I always wanted everybody together and
right.
like the community and friendship was really important to me and it still is. So mm-hmm. that I'm glad that we got to connect in that way
yeah.
and are still friends today.
Yeah. I feel like that a lot of us in this community are like that because we probably all grew up misunderstood anyways. I mean, we play mm-hmm. dress up for a living. That's what we do. Like
yeah.
that's what we've always wanted to do. But
yeah.
like that's a loser in high school, you know?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And so like it's funny because for me anyways, personally, like I put on Joni Brosis is this person that like is so cool and so confident. I like it's like my own drag. Mm-hmm. Like you put on this face and you are the coolest person. And that's why I like dress up as like strong characters because it's like it gives me qualities that are buried deep down inside me. But mm-hmm. like I bring it out that day because, oh, well, you know, I'm Wonder Woman that day. Like she's not scared of anything. She's really strong and she'll kick your ass if you say otherwise, you
yep.
know. And
mm-hmm.
that's me for the day. Like, is that Joni? No, not really. Not at all. I just don't pay attention to me. Don't look at me. Like,
mm-hmm.
but for the day, like that's what cosplay brings, I think, to a lot of people's lives is kind of that inner confidence that you get to pretend that you have and then hopefully hold on to for your real life too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I relate to that
Yay.
Completely and utterly. I do the same thing. I also am more reserved and shyer, mm-hmm. and then I will cosplay characters like Android 18. That's when I started.
Yes.
That's how I started. And big, strong, powerful comic book characters that are
yeah.
Fun to play dress up as.
Yeah.
And walk around as and do photo shoots as.
And, yeah, and you're like strong and confident, yeah, and sexy. And you're like, yeah, I got this.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, if somebody wanted to get into Star Trek now and had no prior experience, what would you recommend they do for someone like me?
Oh, I would give you a couple of – what's nice about most Star Treks is that you can just hop in.
Okay.
Like, they're you don't have to watch them in order, except for, like, Deep Space Nine. That's like a soap opera. So if you like soap operas, that one's really, really fun. But I'd say Next Gen is the safest. Okay. I think everybody – for the most part, the majority like Next Gen. It's like fast paced enough and like exciting enough to be, you know, to pay attention to, but it still has like Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek, like it still has his ideals in it, mm-hmm, where it's like entertainment first, but you're going to learn something and accidentally learn something, mm-hmm, that's like really thought provoking and have hopefully good conversations about it after. Mm-hmm. So definitely, like, if I could recommend, like, one episode, it's definitely The Outcast. I think it's a very impactful episode that, like, really, really – it touches on so many things, and it can be replaced with so many different walks of life that you might not understand. Mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm, it's just a really, really good episode that they did so tastefully. Mm-hmm. And it was back when I don't want to say Star Trek is like this now, but I think – it's lost its way a little bit with kind of ramming, learn this, and if you don't learn it, you're wrong. Mm. I feel like it's kind of taken a turn of like very aggressively teaching people stuff rather than like, here's a cool story. Oh, I'm the bad guy in that story. Shit. I should be nicer next time because I'm that person in the story. I'm not the good guy this time. And and you learn and you're like, oh, you know, but I was entertained while learning that. It wasn't like, hey, you're the bad guy. And if you're the bad guy, you're doing this wrong and you're terrible. Mm-hmm. And I don't like shows that do that. Even if I'm like not the bad guy, I just feel it's so aggressive, you know, and you watch shows that are like, learn this, you're the bad guy in this situation. You're like, calm down, hold on. Mm-hmm. Hold on, I can learn something. You don't have to yell at me. So yeah, I'd say Next Gen is a very nice way to go through it. I'd have to like look up actual like more episodes than that. Oh, Measure of a Man, such a good one. That is kind of like a data-centric episode where mm-hmm, it's deciding if he's like an object or a person, mm-hmm, because he's an android, but he's like, you know, self-aware. So it's a cool like I think it's like a two-parter too, so it's a nice long one.
Okay, all right, I know where to start.
Yeah,
if I ever want to get into Star Trek, which yeah, I have a bunch of friends who like Star Trek. Mm-hmm. Oh my god,
it's aggressive. You know, it's so angry.
It's like my friend
for anyone who's only hearing this, it's a bug. It's our little bug friend. It's very aggressive and eating our face.
He's like, I want to know about Star Trek too. My sentence got interrupted by our boy. I have a bunch of friends who are into Star Trek and they mm-hmm tell me all these really cool stories about it. And it seems like such a good franchise to be a part of. Like, it's entertaining, it's tasteful, mm-hmm, it mm-hmm teaches you things. But I just didn't know where to start because it's so – it's like starting One Piece almost where you don't know where to begin and where to skip and what
– where do you start One Piece? I haven't watched any One Piece. Like, do you have to start at the beginning or is there like a condensed like cut out the filler of the whole – <Is there? laughs>
I think they're working on a condensed version of the anime right now.
That'd be lovely.
But I've seen episodes of One Piece here and there, but I can't bring myself to start at the beginning.
It's so intimidating. Yeah. It's so much.
Exactly. I'm exactly.
Like, maybe later. Mm-hmm. If I have to pay attention, especially with like the dubbed and the subbed, I like subbed, but I'm doing things while I'm watching things.
Yeah.
And so if I have to pay full attention, I'll just wait till I can pay full attention, which is never.
I do the same thing. I watch everything dubbed because I'm multitasking mm-hmm all the time.
Did you get it?
No. He's so fast. And intrusive. Get away from my face. Anyway. So you went to a Star Trek convention. That was your mm-hmm. first convention, and that's how you started cosplaying. Mm-hmm. So walk me through then how you got from cosplaying Star Trek in 2011 to doing cosplay professionally at a booth, having your own booth, being a guest at a con.
That was, oh goodness. So I had my first Star Trek convention, painted myself green, and that was really, really cool. And so there was one a couple months later. So one was in San Francisco. That was the first one. And then there was one in Las Vegas a couple months later. And I was like, let's do that one too. So I did that one, did the same costume, and got like stopped by a booth that was there. And they're like, hey, would you want to model for our booth? Like, we'll pay you. And I was like, yeah, like I'm here anyways doing what I like doing. So of course. Mm-hmm. So they like paid me to kind of stand there. It was like a 3D animation company. Mm-hmm. So it would track. I don't know if you remember like the Xbox tracking thingy mm-hmm. that I hope I don't age myself by that. But the Kinect. That's Kinect. What it was.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So you would move and it would track your movements. And then you could animate whatever you created in their software to do what you were doing. So your own mocap type thing, mm-hmm. you know? So that's what I did for the day. So I would kind of like dance around and then you would see it on the screen, the character dancing around, which was really mm-hmm. cool. So they'd like dressed it as me and stuff. And so I did that. The person there was a photographer and he's like, have you ever thought of modeling? And I was like, that's like literally all I've ever wanted to do when I was a kid. I was like, I wanted to be a model or a contortionist and join the circus. And, you know, model was easier. So so I wanted to be a model. And he's like, oh, well, I'm a photographer. Let me help you with your portfolio. So he helped me with my portfolio and we did modeling and stuff. And I realized that you could, like, do both. So that was kind of early on when cosplay was still very, very new. Mm-hmm. I think there was only, like, two cosplayers I've ever seen. And so I was like, oh, well, maybe I can do that. And so I kind of just threw everything into that. I was like, I'm going to make this work. I worked like two other jobs and then I did cosplay and I tried making prints and stuff. And I just kind of studied a lot of like other people, Artist Alley, other cosplayers, see what they're doing. Like, what even is this business model? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you make this a full-time thing? Because mm-hmm. I would love to do this. And so luckily, you know, it worked out because it's like, I want to play dress up for a living. How do I do that? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, sell pictures of yourself. But why would people buy that? Mm-hmm. Why? I'm like, for me, I'm just like, I'm not interested. Why? I don't. But you could get the real character maybe. I don't know. But I understand the love for someone's iteration of something. It's like fan art of something. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I like the way you drew this better, or I like your take on this. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's so fun about cosplay is, like, it's given me, you know, my takes and then, you know, my body type. If you, you know, like Tomb Raider with no boobs, hey, here I am, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's cool because it's given me confidence and, like, my iteration is something that I like and I'm pleased with, and hopefully other people are also, you know, pleased by that. So, yeah, so I did the modeling thing and this, and then there was a convention in Utah where I'm from, and it was the first one there. I was the person that owned the 3D modeling company also wanted me to help him get like guests to the shows because he wanted to make a show in Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of like a booth babe by day, and then I would help network at night to get hopefully guests to go to his conventions and stuff. And so since I was involved with that heavily, they had me at that convention as like a guest and stuff. And that was forever ago. My goodness, that was a long time ago. But that was my first like real, like, I'm selling prints here. I am a presence here. My name is on a banner kind mm-hmm. of thing. So that was chaos. It was a mess. It didn't really go well. I think I made like, I don't know, it was like $300, which was pretty cool. But like, yeah, it was a whole thing. It was a lot of drama, but right. Minus that crap. it was a good enough experience that I'm like, I can do this, mm-hmm. you know, and I would like to continue doing this. So I just kept trying to network and travel because I didn't want to stay in one place. Oh, you know, you can't really grow if you stay in one place. So I tried to travel, but also within the means of keeping the economy Because if you just pay your own way, then other people who should be paid and, you know, are guests, they should be compensated for their time. Mm-hmm. So I didn't, you know, I tried not to cross over of like, oh, well, I'll pay everything and then just show up. It's like, no, that screws up my economy because then I won't get paid later.
Yeah.
So there, I think there's a fine line between, you know, trying to help other cons out if they're smaller, but also still get, you know, what you're owed. It's a mm-hmm. a delicate economy, which yeah. we learned during the COVID times. So I do yes. my best to, like, you know, make sure I'm keeping up with the economy by while also being fair.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I think too, it's a lot about kind of how much you need to learn as well. Like when I first started doing booths, I was asking for a much lower fee, if any fee, mm-hmm. just to kind of get my foot in the door, right. see what was going on, mm-hmm. see what I even should be doing, bringing to sell at the table, and then right. slowly started to like adjust it as I got more experience, which mm-hmm. I feel like kind of applies to any job.
Yes. Every year you like add something new, you learn something new, you try new products, you try new merch, see what works for the year, and you're like, well, mm-hmm. that was a dud. Like I tried pins and I was like, I don't think people like pins. They're heavy too. Mm-hmm. So trying to travel with that and like luggage. Also, you have to have, you know, 50 pounds worth of luggage. So yeah. like how do you put all your paper in there?
It's yeah.
logistics. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But the whole business side of it is I'm fascinated by the business side. It's really fun, and I like fine-tuning it for next year. Every year I want to make mm-hmm. it better mm-hmm. and more streamlined, more intuitive, you know, just an easier and better experience every year.
Yeah. Min-max the booth setups.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you find is merch that works versus merch that doesn't work?
Oh, goodness.
Pins don't work. There's a lot of
factors. No, pins just don't work. I think it's an Artist Alley thing. You know, I think that works in Artist Alley, but mm-hmm. since we're usually not there location-wise, we're there by guests, which, you know, no offense to the guests. I hate being there because I just don't do well. Like because I think people are walking past guests, right? And I think, you know, as a consumer, if I walk past a guest and I don't know what they're from, I'm embarrassed. Mm. And so obviously no one knows what I'm from because I'm not from anything. Like mm. I dress up as the people from things, you know. So being there, I don't think that's the right category for me to be near. Like it's nice because it's nicer. You know, it's cleaner. People are very nice there. I feel famous. It's cool. But but I don't think it's, you know, business-wise, I feel like more of an exhibitor or an artist. Mm-hmm. Maybe not necessarily Artist Alley, but like exhibitor-wise. Because I'm adding to people's experience. I sell merch, you know, even though I do a couple of things that people might notice me from. But it's not like big enough to be like a actor or a face actor of some sort. And my brain completely turned off and I forgot a question. Hi.
You're still answering the question.
Oh, wait, okay, good.
If you could, the question was,
oh, what works?
Merch works and what yes. merch doesn't work?
Prints always work. Sizing was hard for me.
Really?
Because the mm-hmm. 11 by 17s are so heavy.
Yes.
And I think people want more prints. But the size was intimidating, and not enough people bought the 11 by 17. So I went to 8 by 10 and okay. 8 by 10 seems to be just solid. You know, I go on Whatnot and I sell like the 11 by 17s of what I have left. But 8 by 10s are solid. They're easy to travel with. They don't get damaged as much because the bigger they are, the more easily damaged they are. Mm-hmm. So logistics wise, it's easy to look at. People can see a lot more on the table versus like, you know, 211 by 17s. Mm-hmm. So prints are always solid. Stickers are fun to pull people in, but they don't sell a lot. And mm-hmm. the turnaround is not a lot. Like the percentage you make on them is just not really a lot. Mm-hmm. They're more, I think, marketing tools. Body pillows, fantastic way to get people into the booth. Mm-hmm. But no one buys them. Mm, like some people okay. will buy them. It's a big ticket price item. It's a good quality item too, but it looks more like a banner. So it's like a big banner to kind of showcase your work. So like mm-hmm. I'll put my most popular characters, my more pulling characters, because that'll get people to walk up. Mm-hmm. And so like I rely on my looks to pull people in. And then I rely on my personality to hopefully keep people. So that's where I just like try to wrap people in. And then I'm like, hi, I want you to have fun. Like mm-hmm. even if you don't buy anything, I really just want to be a part of people's positive experience with Comic-Con. Because mm-hmm. they'll keep coming. And if they support my work, that's awesome. But I don't know. I want people to feel like they belong there. because I think Comic-Con is such a great place to feel like you belong somewhere when you haven't your entire life.
Yeah.
So totally. That's what I want to be the main thing for, you know, my con experience. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's, I don't know. I have like play mats, which are fun, but they're even heavier.
Yeah.
Super heavy, but they look so cool.
Yeah. I was thinking about adding play mats.
They're so cool.
Does it move?
I think they're more for me.
Okay. Yeah. Just, that's how I feel about them too. I'm going to buy play mats. They're just going to be for me.
Yeah. I'm like, they're sick. And I don't know. I'll maybe sell two of them for a show, but like they look really cool. And it's another big item that people can see from far away.
Yeah.
I think people are intimidated to walk up sometimes. So mm-hmm. if they can shop from far away, they're more comfortable walking up like, okay, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. And now I can talk and do other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But booster packs are my newest thing,
booster which has been
so fun. Because so the Labubu thing, I love. I am a sucker for like mystery packs. It keeps me opening them and I want more and I spend more money because I just mm-hmm. want the thing, the mm-hmm. one thing I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And let's see here. Final Fantasy came to Magic. I think it was like a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love the Magic community. I'm not good at playing Magic. I know how. I'm capable. I'm just very slow. So it gives me way too much anxiety. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the people that play it, and I know that they like, you know, cards. So I made my own art card because I've seen artists do art cards or even people repaint them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, why don't I do a cosplay version of it? Maybe people won't want that as their commander or something. So we did like a Patreon exclusive for my Tifa card. And I was like, Cole, who does my he does like a lot of art stuff and design. Like he's so good at that stuff. So I was like, hey, you made this Magic card. What if we made other Magic cards? I'm like, can we do that? Because like he's avid Magic player and knows everything about Magic. So I was like, okay, mm-hmm. help me out with this.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, oh, we can make you a commander because it doesn't technically go into your deck. So if the consistency of the card is different, it's okay because mm-hmm. it doesn't go in.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to make some of those. And then we figured out how to make them holographics, make the rarity difference. We made tokens because those don't go in your deck either. And then I was actually on a Magic card. So I was a model for me and my husband, Cole, who were on Guiding Voice from the Strixhaven set. So if you see that, Steve Argyle painted it and it's of me and Cole's likeness. And
that's like, so cute.
So it was cool. It was really cool.
Wow. That's awesome.
So that comes in the booster packs and stuff. And so they're fun randomized packs. And that's been fun. That's just been a lot of work though. Oh my gosh. It's so much work. So we pack them ourselves. We hand lay the stickers that go on there. It's like a little sticker that, I don't know. It just looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's set actual reason. Sorry, Magic players. I don't know the reason. It looks cool. But yeah, you put a little star on it. And they're all hand signed. I assign all of them.
Oh, that's so hand. Cool.
So they're pre-signed. They come in a booster pack. So then you get them randomized and then you open them. And it's really fun to watch people open them because I'm like, what did you get?
What'd you get?
Did you get a shiny one?
Uh-huh.
So it's that one's been my most fun one. We just made Pokemon ones now too. So
nice.
We're going to maybe do Riftbound. I don't know. Anything that I can make proxies of. I'm just having a really good time doing them. So, and the people seem to like it. Mm-hmm. I think it's really fun. And it's a small little collectible. And it's not too expensive. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's the newest one. And I think that's the bestseller so far. So,
yeah. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Anything to make yourself have a good time while you're there is good. And also, that is such a good idea.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, and it makes a community too. I even have a Discord for trading cards too. So, like, if people are like, I have 20 of Storm, but I'm really looking for, you know, this card or that card or Tifa or something, does anyone have one? Like, they can trade. So, it even gets the community together.
That's awesome.
I've had people like trade in line together. It's just cute. It's like a community builder too. So, people can meet each other and, like, oh, I have this one. Oh, I have all of these, mm-hmm. you know, sharing their collection and stuff. So, any way I can do more interactive things is more fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you do a lot of conventions per year?
I try not to. I really do. But somehow I get carried away and I get excited. And then I'm like, but then I can meet new people from new areas.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, shit, I'm tired.
I get it.
So, you know, you get to like 10 and you're like, what was was I thinking? What did I
do? Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I probably do, like, I don't know, anywhere from, like 5 to 11, maybe. I think 11 is my max. I don't want to do that many.
Yeah.
I'm not that young anymore. I can't. I cannot. It's too much. I'm too tired. And then I don't realize that weekends butt up against each other. And you're like, where's my time? I want to go home and see my kitties and sleep by my own bed.
Yeah.
But nope. And then I can't work out. And then I can't eat right. And so, like, I just eat pretzels for an entire weekend and I feel like shit.
Yep.
So it's not good.
Yep.
It's just terrible. You feel terrible. There's a lot that goes into cosplay. I don't think a lot of people realize. It's like, how do you eat normal? Because I'm a workaholic. So, like, I stay at the booth and I won't eat. If Cole doesn't feed me next to me, I just don't eat.
Yeah. That happens to me as well. I'm like, but this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
And there will be food in the green room and people will come and tell me that there's food in the green room.
Yeah.
And I'm
like, thank
just
you.
Don't go.
No.
Yeah.
You think you will, like maybe on the way to the bathroom, and then you don't.
And then you just forget.
Because you're like, well, that's bathroom time. So, oh, well, time's gone.
Yep.
I can either pee or eat. Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Totally get it. And you don't think truly that. At least for me, I will book cons back to back on like similar weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And I will forget that there's travel time involved and packing time involved and different things
laundry
you have
time.
To do.
You have to pay bills. You have to go home and, like, you know, upkeep your house again.
Yep.
Like, oh, snap, there's another bill that came in that's unexpected. How am I going to call and deal with that?
Yeah.
I'm not here.
Uh-huh.
It's great. It's so great.
Looks at my car right now.
Right? You're like, oh, who's going to deal with that? I don't know. I got to go. See you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's I did it. It happened the day before I was supposed to fly. I was supposed to fly out at 8 a.m. the next morning. For those of you listening and watching, I accidentally ripped part of my undercarriage off my car recently. And I did it on Thursday night. And I had to fly at 8 a.m. to a con. So I didn't get it taken care of until I got back.
So it just sits there today. And you're just like, like, okay, I'll deal with it sometime. And then you're going to go to another con. And you're like, I can either relax or, like, really stress. That's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My time is just ticking away. Every moment is escaping me somehow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's great. I love it. And it's so funny because, like, again, to just dumb it down to, like, playing dress up as, you know, for a living. Like, when I meet, like, normies out in the wild, they're like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, do you know what cosplay is? No. Well, I play dress up for a living. And they're like, oh, cute. Like, what is that? It's everything all the time. I just don't stop working.
Yeah.
You know?
And playing dress up too, it describes it, but it doesn't describe it, right? Because it's the, like, research of figuring out what to cosplay and then creating the cosplay, whether that is buying pieces and modifying them or buying the costumes or finding materials that are good, that you like, and a wig that is good that you like.
The wig has to be perfect, and then you buy it and it's not right, so you have to buy another one.
Yes.
And you have to return that one wherever you have time to return one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then you have to style it too, and then you fuck that one up because you use the wrong glue, and then you're like, okay, cool, I'll just buy the same one again. You just waste hella money doing it.
It's crazy. And then you say all that and then they look at you like, what the
I don't want to bore you with my actual job. It's like, I wouldn't sit there and be like, oh, you do accounting. What is that? Nobody cares. It's fine. Like, you know, all the stress that goes, like, I share the highlights, you know, oh, I get to travel and meet people, you know, I get to wear pretty princess dresses sometimes and, like, paint cool guns. That's, you know, the very, very thin top layer of this, like, stress.
Right.
But it's fun. It's worth it.
It is. You know? It totally is.
And it's cool. It's a cool job, right?
The coolest thing ever.
Like, I get to do exactly what I love every single day and meet really cool people because of it. It's like, all right, you know what? I'll deal with the stress. It's cool.
I am with you. I couldn't agree more, honestly. It's worth the stress and the effort and the no time. Everything else.
It's like, how do you run out of time? I don't know where it goes. Because, like,
me
I try to relax, you know, and even while I'm relaxing, I'm still working while I'm relaxing.
Yeah.
You can't relax. The only time I relax, Disneyland. Shut my phone off. Don't deal with it.
I Okay, maybe a little bit of
work. I'm jealous. I was talking to Danny Phantom, who is a cosplayer, TikTok skit. He does a lot of things, but I was saying the same thing that you were saying. I can't relax. I am doing something all the time. And he's like, not me. I love relaxing. I was like, what?
What is that like?
How? I want you to tell me how to do that so badly.
And not feel like guilty about it too while you're doing it. It's so hard for me. Yeah. It's so hard.
Honestly, same.
Yeah. Disney is literally the only place I'm like, okay, I can just...
I'm in the moment.
Yes. Because I'm surrounded by like everything that I love. And there's like pretty music. There's popcorn smells. I'm like, don't bother me today. I look like shit and no one's going to bother me. Right. And it's going to be great. And I love it.
First of all, you could never look like shit.
Aww,
second of all, you're very interesting. There's been a couple of things that you've said. I wanted to stop you and be like, wait. What about... what Disney franchises do you like?
Oh god,
which ones are your favorites?
Old ones. I don't like the new stuff. I'm terrible because I don't like the new stuff. I just don't. But I either don't like it or I just don't care enough to watch it, because it all kind of looks like cleaner Jimmy Neutron to me. You know, like the animation style is the same, and so like I miss drawings. I really miss drawings. So I like, My favorite one is Rapunzel. It's Tangled. I love Rapunzel so much, but I do realize that she's part of the Jimmy Neutron stage of Disney. Okay, I understand.
Not the Jimmy Neutron stage of Disney. That's so funny.
They're just cleaner.
Carl Weezer just pops out with a croissant. Like, what am I doing here?
Exactly. It's just, I don't like the copy and paste, you know? It all looks the same to me. So, I really love Rapunzel. I really love The Little Mermaid. I've learned that I really love Sleeping Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
I love the style of it. It's very like the old dragons and the old animation. The goblins are like, you know, they're just fun.
Yeah.
And the goofy voices. I miss goofy voices. Mm-hmm. And it's sad because like the more I think about it, like Tangled has like Mandy Moore being Mandy Moore singing Mandy Moore and, you know, guitar fun. And so I liked the old style Disney stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like there was a little bit, I don't want to say there was more love put into it, but there was more artistic variety included into it. Like, you know, art styles, even singing styles, the growth of the singing. Like you had like Cinderella had a lot of opera. Aurora sang a lot of opera. Snow White too, and then it kind of like changed into, you know, pop music, and so like a lot of it's very poppy. Mm-hmm. And I think I don't like it. I don't know, I'm just, it's catchy, but I hate Frozen. That's all I have to say.
I was like there has to be a catalyst here. I'm waiting for it.
I hate it. I don't want to rant. I will rant as long as I rant about Star Trek and how much I love it. It's how much I hate Frozen.
Can you give us the highlights?
Oh god. I'm the curious. Fact that your parents die and then you just fucking don't give a shit about your sister. And then you know what? She like does something cool and you're like, cool, we're friends now. No, fuck that. Get out of my life. Like, that's such a toxic relationship. I don't give a shit if you found the love of your life and it turned out to be a lie. You know what? It was real for a second. And that pissed me off because I was so excited she found her person. Because you know what? My husband is that person. I fucking love that person. And I was so excited. They just ripped that shit out. Like, real life doesn't exist. You're like, I'm mad. It just takes, I know that's cool that it takes Disney and it flips it on its head. It's like, cool, here's a new take, sisterhood. And it's like, no, that's not fucking sisterhood. That is not healthy. I told you I'd rant. I'm so sorry.
No, I'm excited. I'm into it.
It makes me so mad because I think it's such an unhealthy relationship between like their sisterhood of like literal abandonment and then everything's okay. I don't know. I would love for somebody to like maybe tell me the story that I'm missing of like a healthy relationship, but I just don't see one there. And then she's like, oh, you didn't find the love of your life. He's a lie. Even though he was a lie, like get to know him first and maybe, I don't know. She just like right off the bat was like, nah, he sucks. Mm-hmm. That's not real. Mm-hmm. It's like, give me a little magic. Don't rip all the magic out of my Disney. I like fairy tale mermaids and, you know, getting feet and falling in love and not being able to talk. And I love all that stuff, okay? I like dragons and being a damsel in distress and, you know, I don't know. That it just, it upset me, obviously.
Yeah.
And the fact that it got so much advertisement versus Rapunzel being just a magical movie about thugs and ruffians being actual dreamers and just, and having this like thug misunderstood, not Prince Charming at all, but that still flipped on its head because he had a good heart. Mm-hmm. He was just, you know, he had a really troubled lifestyle and maybe he was misunderstood and nobody loved him. You know what I mean? Like it showed so much, so many different things, and it showed an unhealthy relationship that was actually unhealthy mm-hmm. and showed the unhealthy ways. I'm just gonna rant for mm-hmm, Disney mm-hmm. forever. I'm sorry. I was just, you know, and so it made me mad that like Rapunzel didn't get the same love. It was still the Jimmy Neutron shit style, and it didn't get the same love, had a way better story, uh-huh. and then unhealthy relationships, and then a snowman that talks, whoop-dee-doo, like ugh, kiss my ass. It makes me so mad.
Anyways, so funny.
I hate Frozen. Please don't hate me because I hate Frozen, but it makes me so mad. And I'm sorry. I will sing Let It Go and I will dress up for the stupid love of my nieces. I got both Anna and Elsa. Anna and Elsa. Uh-huh. I got those outfits and I sang with my nieces because I love them that much. Yeah, and I like the Frozen ride in Disney World. It's very fun. And I will sing it really, really loud as I ride backwards. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's the only time I'm like, okay. I will let it go. I will. Okay?
I will.
I know. I'm going to get so many comments saying let it go. Okay?
Just let it go.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's the one time I will. Okay? I will let it go there. I'm sorry.
Have you seen Frozen 2?
No, but I hear that's better. Okay. Hold on, though. Have you played Dead by Daylight?
No. Yes. Yes, I have.
Do you know the main theme song? Goes dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's the same song. My niece was singing the song from the Frozen 2 song. It starts like that. And she goes, ah! And I'm like, that's Dead by Daylight. What are you talking about?
I was, oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you listen to the two, just saying. Dead by Daylight had it first.
I think you're onto something, actually.
There's a conspiracy theory somewhere in there. But I'm willing to watch the second one because I'm hoping they learned, you know, something from their mistakes. And they had a better story. I'm hoping. So funny. The music was good, though. I heard some good. Of it. So, mm-hmm. yeah. I'm down.
I was going to say, I liked Frozen 2 more than I liked Frozen.
I heard that a lot. So, I'm down.
It was more, I don't know, interesting?
Hopefully. First one set. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Why don't you tell me a little more how you feel about Frozen specifically?
No.
This just in, Joni hates talking snowmen. You heard it here first. At the next convention, please ask her about it.
No, I will yell at you. You'll think I'm a terrible person because I hate Disney, but I don't. Just that one is not worth
a lot. It seems like you're more upset about like the airtime of Frozen, like the marketing of Frozen than anything.
Man. Yes. Yeah. Well, no, it's the toxic relationships being like portrayed as a good relationship. Mm. Like, I just think it's very important. If you're going to, like, flip Disney on its head, you should teach boundaries to children or teach them, like, they kind of taught that in, like, yeah, don't fall in love with the first person that you see that you think is everything. But it's not even that. Like, this person was faking all the things that they had in common, which isn't very common in the relationship world. If they wanted to, they could have just said, hey, slow down. That would have been a way more progressive, like, take on relationships and building boundaries of, like, maybe this Prince Charming was a little bit too aggressive with, like, kissing her while she was sleeping or something. And then maybe we could talk about, like, oh, actually, I would rather you kiss me when I'm comfortable. That would be teaching kids boundaries. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, this sister abandoning her other sister. Like, maybe teach her, like, no, I think you're going to have to work your way back into my life. That would be a more healthy relationship rather than, oh, I'm going to fix something and then everything's fine. You know, like, if you're going to flip Disney, please teach children something valuable. Right. That's all.
I'm so sorry. Amazing. It got so hot in here.
I'm sweating.
Frozen. We're talking about Frozen. It's hot now.
I'm incredibly indifferent about Frozen, so you can talk shit about Frozen as much as you want. I love Mulan and Hercules. So.
Mulan is, okay, it's one of my favorites. It's not my favorite, but it is, I will fight to the death, it is the greatest Disney movie ever made.
Mulan?
Yes.
I agree.
Yes. Yeah. It has the greatest, I will not skip any of those songs.
Same.
Yeah, Little Mermaid, I'll skip some of those songs. Tangled, I'll skip some of those songs. But Mulan, nobody skips a song. And every man loves it and woman loves it. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves the music. Everybody loves the characters. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's like, the fact that it's like, oh, maybe bi, maybe not. We don't care.
Yeah.
We're just, love is love. That's cool. I love that. Mm-hmm. And the fact that cross-dressing as women made them win the war. I'm like, hell yeah. Like, it's amazing. There's so many good, see, that's quality storytelling right there.
I agree.
Quality. Such quality.
We're on the same page.
Hell yeah. Women empowerment. Love it. But also equality. Love it. It's amazing. I loved it.
I agree.
That's a good one. Good choice. Good for you. Good for you and your good taste.
Thanks. That's my only Disney take. I think Mulan's the best movie, but it seems we agree. So we don't have to argue.
Argue with that. I literally, that's one of the greatest. And Hercules is whenever I'm the most sad, I listen to that and I watch that movie. It makes me so happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about it. It's not even like, I don't know. It's not like one of my like top favorites, but it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's so happy, and it, I don't know, it's, that one's a well done movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. And Pain and Panic are amazing. I love them so much. They're so fun.
I agree. I love all the characters in Hercules a lot.
Yes, as you should. They deserve it.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you were the inspiration for some card art for Magic. You've also been on the cover of some comic books I mentioned earlier, Vampirella and Red Sonja. Were those the only two or were there more?
So I got to be on the cover of, oh my gosh, my first one was, I think it was Aphrodite 9. And that's a Top Cow comic. It's like a old comic. She's got like green hair and stuff. And that was like a Salt Lake City Comic-Con exclusive. That's how old it is because it's not called that anymore.
Oh, wow.
It's called Fanix now. But that was like one of their, I don't know, first few years, but I got to be on the cover of that. So that one's the rarest one. You can't find it anywhere. Good luck finding it. It's not going to be on eBay. You can't find it. There was only like, I think, I don't know, maybe 100 copies made.
Wow.
Just for that convention. So there's that
have one.
I do. Okay. Yes. I actually signed it with my husband's name on it. So he got my copy.
Aww.
That's special. That's the only one I have. So there's that one. And then there was She by Billy Tucci. She's like this geisha warrior. So cool. I've been collecting those covers forever since I started, you know, collecting Vampirella covers. So I'm the first and only so far cosplay cover of that one.
Wow.
That one's really cool. That was only through like GoFundMe. It's like an Indiegogo type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that one you can only find through there. So there's those. And then Vampirella and Red Sonja are my kind of mainstays. Dynamite, you know, calls me up. Hey, we need a cover. Okay, here you go. I always have them on standby just in case because I love being on their covers. It's such an honor. Like, that was my 5-year plan, is to be on the cover of Vampirella when they didn't have cosplay covers.
Really?
Because they had some before cosplay was cosplay. I think in like the 80s, they probably had some model that they're like, hey, throw this red bikini on and I'm going to take pictures of you and we're going to put you on a cover.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever. I'm a model. I don't care. You know? And so I have some of those covers, which I wish I could get signed by the original model, but they probably like, if they're around anymore, even like, why would they care? You know? So maybe one of these days I can get one signed. I've actually reached out to kind of like the people who took the photos and stuff to see if I could find them, but nothing yet. But collecting those, that was my 5-year goal. I was like, I want to be on the cover of a comic book. And then literally, I think it was like 5 years, maybe it was even like, I don't know, 3 to 5 years. I can't remember. Into my cosplay career, somebody from Dynamite saw me at San Diego Comic-Con in Vampirella, and they took pictures and brought it back to their people. And they're like, hey, would you want to be on a cover? And I was like,
I cried. Oh, it was such an honor to be on one of those covers. And so, yeah, I had like a big, you know, release party at my local comic shop. And like my friends and my family came and stuff. It was really, really cool. So, but yeah, I've been on the cover of quite a few Red Sonjas and Vampirellas so far. I submitted for Sheena, but I don't know if they do those anymore. So. But that's awesome. I would love to get more. It's such an honor because they live on forever. I mean, I have some from the 80s. So like somebody, you know, in 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, will see one of my cosplay covers and will be like, oh, who's that person? And maybe when I'm 80 years old, I can sign a comic for somebody. That'd be cool.
That would be super cool.
That's my lifelong goal. There we go. If someone wants to find me so I can sign their comic. That'd be sick.
Oh, that would be so sick. Cool. Right?
Be like, oh, look, I was hot. Look at me, my little body. Wow. I remember those days.
That's awesome. Me. That's so cool. Are you you still work with them now, you said?
Yeah. They'll reach out every now and then. And I just, you know, have like a handful of really pretty pictures that are perfect for them that I'll throw at them every now and then. I'm like, hey, do you need a cover? Here you go. Sometimes I'm like, hey, do you want a cover?
Here's some wires. Some cool ones.
Yeah.
Are those photos that they use for the covers exclusive, as in like you've never posted them before or made prints of them, or does it matter if you've?
I don't think they care.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty low maintenance, which is nice. Like they don't care. For me, I'm just like adamant about like credit the photographer because they're part of this project too. So I'm pretty adamant about that. But yeah, other than that, I don't think they care. They're so low maintenance. They're like, throw us what you got. I'm gonna throw it up on there. And, you know, throw some more. Okay, I'll throw them up on there. They don't care. They're happy. You know, if they're happy, I'm happy. It's great.
How do you display them in your house? I assume you have a copy of them all.
I get them slabbed. Oh. So I only have 196, and it makes me so mad. But I have like 9/8, 9/8, 9/8 of like almost all of them. Now I need to get more of them since I've had a couple since then. But I wish I had a place to hang them up. But my house has like slanty walls in my cosplay space. So there's no way to put them up, but eventually I will have them and they're just going to be slabbed across the wall.
They'll be,
you know, kind of my room of me, my proud accomplishments. It's like a trophy type thing, you know.
Yeah,
I'm just like, oh, it's me. I totally did that.
I'm trying to think of ways you can hang them in my head right now, but I can't. Besides like floating candles from the ceiling, I'm like, there has to be a way.
Get a new house. That's the solution. Easy solution.
Just get another one.
Yeah.
Just get a second one. Keep all your cosplays there.
Right. Yeah. Just get another one, silly.
Duh. It's such a good time to buy a house right now.
Oh, my God. Such a good time. You know, why not get three?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, hop around.
For fun.
For fun. Yeah. Why not? You want one?
Yeah.
I'll get you one.
Give me one, too. I would love one. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Happy birthday.
Oh my God, for me, that's so nice. then you get it for somebody and then they get drowned with like taxes and mortgage payments.
Yeah, like, it's not my problem, but
no more. Oh man.
Oh my God.
What do you think has changed the most then since you started in 2011 doing cons to doing them now? Have you noticed like a shift in the culture?
Yes. People are a lot more respectful. And I think it was just kind of like lack of education and exposure to cosplayers because we were quite objectified in the beginning because it's like, oh, cool, a live cardboard cutout, basically. I can pick them up. I can squeeze their butts. I can do whatever I want. And you're like, whoa. So we've had, I think, a lot of people kind of raise awareness and also kind of create those boundaries with the community of like, ask first, you know, it's fine. Do you want to take a picture of my butt? Just ask, please. Like some of us will say no and you need to respect that. But some of us, if you want a butt picture, we don't care. But like, at least get a good angle. Let me prepare for it so it's not like, you know, just like, bye.
Yeah.
You know, so be respectful. But like, everybody's been so kind and respectful. And I've been trying to do that myself, even with taking pictures next to people. You don't realize like sensory issues or, you know, things like that or personal space that people don't want to be touched. So, you know, you just assume, oh, a pretty girl putting her arm around me, I'm not going to complain. But
that still doesn't give me a right to just put my arm around you. So I always ask first too, because like I start that conversation. And if I start it, it normalizes it to where like it's not a weird question to ask. Like, oh, can I put my arm around you? Oh, yes. Can I do the same? Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then it works out. So I've noticed that like almost consistently everybody asks now, and it's wonderful. So
yeah, I've noticed that too.
Yeah. It's such a great change. I'm like, yay, I like this. You know, it went from people chunking my butt, taking a selfie and running uh-huh. to, hi, may I put my arm around you? Yes, you may.
Yeah. Oh,
it's so great.
Totally. And I have also noticed that out and about, if someone asks me what I do and I say cosplay, they're like, mm-hmm. oh, that's so cool. Like they know what yeah. it is now mm-hmm. more than they did before anyway.
Yes. It's so much more normalized. I like it. It's fun because I don't know. I wish more people would join us and have fun with us because it's fun to dress up a little bit and pretend you're a different person for a yeah, day, you know?
I agree. Well, there's so much to cover. You live an incredible life, but we are out of time, unfortunately,
oh, no.
for the public.
I used all of it to talk about how much I hate Frozen. I'm very
and
sorry.
And Star Trek.
I told you not to get me started.
Both were very fun, entertaining conversations. Yay! Thank you for sharing all of your experiences and likes and dislikes and everything with us. Where can people find you online on social media? And do you have anything coming out soon that is exciting that you're looking forward to?
I just got a new, it's a Halloween horror run of Vampirella. It's just a one-off, but I got the cover of that. And nice. So that's been really, really cool. It just came out. Like I just did a signing for it. Was it 2 days ago? I think maybe yesterday. I don't know what day it is.
I don't either.
Insane. But, there's that. What else? Joni Brosis on everything. Instagram, Twitter, Twitch. I stream on Twitch. I stream on Whatnot. TikTok. I don't use it as much as I should, but, you know, it's there. It exists. Sorry.
The same way. I do.
The fans of Only, you know, all of this good stuff.
All
the good stuff. Patreon, you know. But if you search Joni Brosis or you go to JoniBrosis.com, it has everything. I tried to make everything streamlined so you can find it easy.
Yeah.
JoniBrosis. It's spelled a really weird way. Sorry.
Is it?
Like Joni is usually spelled like J-O-N-I.
Oh.
But now as everyone says Joanne, but there's not two N's. It's J-O-A-N-I-E. It's Joan with an I-E.
Yeah.
And then Brosis is kind of just a weird word. But it's Filipino. So Brosis.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for hanging out with me. I really appreciate
yeah,
it.
Thanks for chit-chatting with me. I love this. This is fun.
Yeah, right? It's fun once you sit down, the stress and yeah. the anxiety starts
My tummy
to go
doesn't
away.
Hurt anymore.
Good. It might have come back as you were starting to talk about Frozen.
Oh,
so
my God,
I'm glad.
Yeah. Is that bug still here?
Yeah. Well, on top of streaming, you also do a podcast.
I have one too now. They've multiplied.
Oh no. They made friends.
Really? You have one too? Oh my God.
We need to get a little zapper or something. So on top of being a podcaster as well, you also stream on Twitch. You also sing, voice act, and are a Playboy model.
Yeah. Oh God.